Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful to connect with all of you here. It's actually just such a blessing for me. Hi, everyone in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. Keyboard is a little wonky today, just to let everybody know. So I might be chatting something kind of weird or texting something kind of weird in the chat room. I don't know. Could be my browser. Anyway, good to see everyone. And as you know, I'm Michelle Mache, your host, and welcome to my co-hosts, co-pilots, and engineers in the chat room, those that help to ground the energy. And boy, what energy we do have starting up in March. If you get my blog, I've been talking about it, and I put the post out for the March forecast, what to expect energetically as well as a bit in your life, what's coming up for March. It's really, you could feel just a marked difference from January, February into this month. It's just very, very different. But anyway, you can get my blog at Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Or you can just Google my name, Soul Insights, and that'll take you to it. Or you can go also to Facebook, my Facebook page, Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E-M-E-I-C-H-E, or Michelle with one L, M-E-I-C-H-E, the last name, will take you to the Awakenings Radio page. Or again, you can just do a search and find it there. And we are getting the newsletter out. I'm a little late with that. I wanted to get – thanks, Tamara, she put in the chat. Yeah, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, and it's the number 4. Going to be shortening that. We're redoing the site. Some of you have been hearing me talk about it. Soul LOL, coming soon. Soul LOL. Live out loud, love out loud, and laugh out loud, because that's what the soul is all about, is about expression. So it's going to be more of an interactive site. I've been doing a lot of videos of late, which I'm really, really loving. God, I'm loving doing the videos and connecting with everyone. It's really getting the dialogue going. And I invite you also, you know, everyone, on the Awakenings Radio page or on my profile page to you know, put your own responses, whether, you know, written or video or a poem or a picture. You know, some people put some wonderful pictures and images. Because I love hearing back how, you know, everyone is doing at this just monumentous time that we're in. And I think you're going to really, more people are really going to wake up to the fact that this year especially, between now and 2016, that we are really in a different time. You know, different time, space, different time zone, however you want to put it, that these are definitely different times than we've ever had before. There's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences, and it's the differences that are making the difference. You want to say that the differences are the critical mass, the turning points that are taking place now. So it's really a time to lighten up, loosen up. I'm finding me doing that with the work that I do and even the site. You know, I work with an amazing web designer and really helps package and brand. She's just amazing. I think I Studio 31. And she's, you know, she said, it's okay. We're start from scratch because so much has changed. And, you know, and it has. So you have to, you know, you have to be willing. One thing I've learned on the path, you have to be willing to say, no matter how far you have to carry, you end up carrying something that, wow, this isn't it. It's over, you know, or this, the new direction came in. You know, I had to do that. Those of you that knew the project that I worked with called Conscious Inspired Living, which that project got me clearer. You know, we did some wonderful collaborative stuff. Some of you listeners wrote in, you know, comments. Some of you contributed to the magazine. It was an online magazine. We had some great features. And it launched actually a few careers. It helped, you know, in writing and art and design. It helped other people get clear, including myself, and who I was collaborating with, you know, Josie Kell and Jennifer Mathieu. And we just looked, and it was like, okay, we did this as far as we could. It was such a great, you know, form of self-expression and experience. And now do I take that and put that into what I'm doing, like with these soul notes that I'm doing and soul bits? You know, I've been – how do you guys like that name? Because bits of information I'm downloading, so I'm uploading it on Facebook and also YouTube. And I'm loving it. I'm just loving it. So that's the, you know, not that things that we do aren't going to become, you know, what I want to say, that, you know, you as Tamara put in the chat, it was complete, cool. Yeah, you know, we need not be afraid of the completions, you know. Tamara said, yes, wonderful video sound bites. Yeah, little bites of information. You know, we need to not fear completion, you know. And so much of us do. You know, I can't tell you how many people that I've worked with that say, oh, I can't do this because I don't know how long I want to do it and how will that look. It'll look flaky. Taking a drink of water. And by the way, kind of in the old paradigm, that was the rule. You know, oh, you have to stay at a job at least a year or, you know, 2 years, 2 to 3 years, so you don't look flaky, like you're bouncing around. And so people would just stay in something that they so totally hated or realize it wasn't a match. You know, it really wasn't fitting them, wasn't a match for them, but they didn't want to look flaky. And to play the game, they had to be a minimum a year. A year is now, you know, back in the day, even 5, 6 years ago, you're talking 2 to 3 years at a job to be upstanding, and then you left because you were moving forward. If you left before 2 years and even 3 years, you know, and some of my corporate clients can, and listeners, you can vouch for this, you know, so people would just stay in things just to transition because, you know, they didn't want to seem flaky. And the truth is some things last longer than other things. They're complete after a certain period of time, you know. Again, you don't want to totally just jump around. But again, if you're in the seeker-explorer phase of your path, you may be doing that. Want to let everybody know we will be taking calls. So if you would like a reading, you'd like to chat, you know how I love it, taking phone calls. That number is 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad to get on air. That's 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know you've got a question or a comment, and you want to get a reading or you want to chat. Just want to talk briefly before we get to callers. Just a couple. I've had a couple of quite a few email questions and observations come in. One about depression, if living with somebody that has depression, and what to do if somebody's really caught up in their wounding. It's the serenity prayer. I've been doing that. Please, what is it? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes I find when we're really bugged by other people's behavior, we need to do our own inner work. You know, when I get really bugged by family members or my own, you know, people around me, then I go, okay, what can I do? I think definitely it depends how open people are. Pointing things out, suggesting supplements, you know, if they're willing, you can say, tell somebody, look, I'm willing to help you through this. Or I like to take the approach, look, what you're going through is bringing up stuff for me, so do you want to do this together? I'll work on my stuff, whatever that is. It could be just being more creative or more artistic or finding out what your blocks are and moving forward. Or it could be some inner child work. It could be some, you know, just some deep healing work. But I find when people within, especially family systems, don't feel like they're the only problem. Everybody else has got it together except for this one person. So if you can all do it together, even I suggest families that I work with, that if it's, you know, the proverbial problem child, they're acting out, well, they're only acting out because they're releasing energy that's not getting channeled or funneled or assimilated and integrated, you know, or integrated and assimilated into that system, that family system or dynamic. So it's really a family issue, family time to let's all evolve, you know, not just the child or the one child, but everybody doing some self-exploration work, some healing, some transformational work, some empowerment. And some people are very open, you know, again, and I did a whole, on my Facebook page, I uploaded a video about the wounding, that we're all wounded. The wounding is our individuality. It's not us, but, you know, I like it like in a suitcase. There's stuff in there. You know, it's like clothes. You wear it, you experience it, you express it. We don't want to live out of the wound, but in the wounding is also our gift. And so we don't want to live out of the wounding. You know, we don't want to live out of the wound, make our decisions out of wounding, like I'm wounded, I messed up. But then there's a time in the beginning of healing where you kind of are marinating in the wounding. You need to allow that. And then there's usually a natural progression of what can I do with this wounding? You know, can I give back to society? Can I mentor? Can I teach? Can I draw? Can I paint? Now I have all this energy that's freed up. You know, I use the example of like mothers against drunk drivers. You know, that's a huge wound. But then they proactively use that energy to help others and create systems of either rehabilitation or, you know, passing laws or memorial services or whatever it is. So, you know, think of your wounding as kind of the grist for the mill. It's the clay. You know, it's the clay. It's the Play-Doh. You know, it's what are you going to do with that? What are you going to create with that? It's the transformative process. It's the catalyst. And that's the, you know, and the wounding is the substance of love, because every wound is a cry or an expression of love on some level, on the most basis or substantive level. And so it's not to stay stuck in it, you know, and usually depression, it's energy held back. And usually a lot of people that are very depressed, there's a lot of anger that they're kind of got the guilties about. And, you know, I had somebody the other day tell me that felt guilty about doing something. And I don't know, you know, it's so interesting. I guess it's just all my inner work. Having, you know, I was at a point with Catholic, Jewish, did all kinds of religions and philosophies. I'm a Latina, which, you know, you definitely get a lot of guilties. I love my roots, but the Hispanic culture, especially if you're a woman, you get, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. But my healing work, and I had good teachers, I feel remorse, I feel bad, but I always kind of pop up into, you know, big picture, rise above the extremes of the polarity plane, rise above duality and go, wow, you know, I'm sorry I think this way, I'm going to take this choice, but this is kind of what I have to do. This is what I, you know, because I'm in my life too. See, this is what people forget. And 520, I see you. I'll be there in a minute to pick up your call. You know, a lot of people, I feel, especially caregivers, light workers, starseeds, we don't have this problem, but light workers can. You know, you're in this life too. It's not just for everyone else. It's not just how can you help and how can you be of service. You're in here too. You have to do for what's right for you. You have to show up for you, not just for other people or external situations. And showing up doesn't just mean living the fullness of your life. It means being present to whatever you're going through. If you're happy, if you're sad, if you're in the dark night of the soul, if you're confused, don't abandon yourself. Don't abandon yourself. If you're depressed or you're, you know, uncertain, don't try to push it under the carpet or slough it off or go, come on, get up, you know, stiff upper lip, get on with it. You're, you know, you've trained or studied enough or you're evolved or light. You shouldn't feel this way. You know, when you're telling yourself you shouldn't feel this way, that's really a misnomer, you know, and it's because you do feel this way. So telling yourself you shouldn't feel this way, you know, you do feel this way. So why are you saying you shouldn't feel this way? Because you do feel this way. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to act upon it. But, you know, being present for your feelings and your experience is so important. And this morning I was texting with a friend of mine, and somebody was kind of just really bugging me, and I was kind of being snarky to her in the response, saying, oh, I can't believe this. Doing, you know, it's just like a game and da-da-da. And she's like, don't put that in the text. And I go, no, I'm not. But I give voice to that little part of me, that little temperamental part. I don't act upon that. But that part of me is just as cute and cuddly, too. It could be a little prickly. It could be a little porcupiney. But that's okay. But I give voice to that part, whether to a close friend or a mentor or my journal or just in my head. I let that little part come out, that little energy, and it was very satisfied. And then the text that I did text was just very loving and peaceful and just, you know. But what happens when we don't give voice, which means showing up for ourselves, when we don't give voice to all those parts of us, it's lumpy stuff under the carpet. It's lumpy, or it just lashes out at an inappropriate time, or it builds, or it creates dis-ease, disharmony. You're going to have some dissonance in your life, even within yourself. You're not here. You know, optimal frequency isn't all harmonized. If you listen to music, there's some dissonance. There's some chord changes, chord progressions. There's some fast and there's some slow. You know, there's some songs that are a little melodic. There's some songs that are melancholy. There's some, I love my new song right now, that Get Happy or Be Happy, the Feral song. Oh, I love that song. Such a sign of the times, you know. But there's going to be the Get Happy song, and then there's going to be the Mozzie Star Fade Into You, or, you know, I'm trying to think of one song that a good breakup song. Summertime Blues. How about it? Summertime Sadness? There's one. So, Ariana Stay and Drake. There's a reason why they say that these music or songs are the soundscape of our life. You know, they correspond to different chakras, different energy centers, and different energy frequencies as to what we're going to. They work tonally. They work vibrationally. They work through wavelengths. And so when you're really showing up for yourself, you're showing up for all of yourself, not just the times where you look cool or think you're cool, but the times that are messy, all times, just showing up, even in life, you know, this kind of magical mystery tour, this Disney World, Disneyland, Magic Mountain, you know, the amusement park. Something that we had a great guest on years ago, artist Mick, and I'm not recalling his last name right now, but he said that many people are leaving the fair. They're choosing another fairground. And that's so true. We're choosing, a lot of us, a different fairground, a different amusement park. But it's still an amusement park. It's still a fairground, you know. And if you're in it, you've got tickets. You know, you've been given tickets. Take the ride. What is the ride? It's how do you want to take the ride? That's the bigger question. Showing up for yourself, you know, for others, being there for others, being there for yourself, showing up for the experience. And, you know, and if you don't like what you're experiencing, get a different ticket, go on a different ride, or find a different, you know, amusement park. All right, so we're going to be, Denise is saying, I can't believe how this still sounds fresh to me and such a relief, loving the hard part of ourselves. Yeah, and then Walk with Spirit puts, some people only deal with stuff when there is a crisis, so how to go forward with people like that is a mystery. Yeah, crises meaning choice. Yeah, it is a mystery because it's always unfolding, and we can't use the same approach with everyone. And how far, you know, I would say boundaries are an inner boundary. How far do we connect with somebody? You know, how much space do we give them to kind of find their way? Because we're all connected, you know, we're all interconnected or connected through the etheric plane spiritually. We're all connected on a spiritual soul level and even on an emotional level. But sometimes it's important to even detach or allow more space emotionally and detach or allow more space physically. You can't allow space spiritually or on a soul level, because that's the place of oneness. The vibration that is at is complete merge. But on the emotional level, which is the level of the personality / ego, and of course on the physical level, we can separate out more. But that's such a good point. That is the mystery. It is a mystery. How do you do it? And again, if there's no cookie cutter, there's no recipe, there's tools and there's things that normally work. But sometimes you have one works better than the other. Sometimes it's a composite of those tools. Let's get to my little
520404.
Yeah,
hi,
Michelle. Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Who is this?
This is Allison from Facebook.
Hey, Allison.
Yeah, so I wanted to first just say, you know, I've been commenting on your videos on Facebook and how wonderful, and the timing is so wonderful on the messages that you're bringing through. So I'm just another supporter of loving your little video blogs that you're doing. They're so much fun to watch and so powerful. So thank you for those.
Oh, thank you. That makes it even more fun when people like it too and respond back. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, my question is, and I actually had this question for you last time I spoke when Paolo was on the phone, last show I called in. So I've got two children, and both of them, one of them is of school age, and the other one is just about to be in school age. And this is, if you knew me, this would be very off the wall for me, but I have been really drawn to, and this thought keeps coming up in my life and in my thoughts day to day, of homeschooling my children. And I don't know where it's right. I don't know where it's coming from, because I have a home-based business and I'm a very busy person, and I'm just trying to understand what this means. So I was going to call in and ask what you saw for that in my life, if you had any information to give me.
Let's look at that. And by the way, I love homeschooling. I know people that have done it, and
yes,
I've even helped people do it in the past, because I'm a background in teaching. And it all, so much depends on the children and, you know, how long you do it. But let's see. So your two children, and give me the ages, please, of them, Allison.
6 and 4.
Okay. Well, first of all, I get that they're very artistic, and I'm getting that they're also very, very close to you, and I feel like they're almost wanting to bond even more with you, so you're picking up on something that they're needing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this perspective? Allison, take it off. Your children. Well, it's looking like, yeah, it's looking, saying find out more information. It's showing the nurturing, there's something you're wanting to do with the nurturing aspect. Do you do something with cooking?
Well, my daughter and I love to cook together, so she is really kind
okay
of going
what,
off in the cooking
yeah
direction and loving that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's very artistic.
I would start videotaping her. Yeah, it's showing the cooking, it's showing the nurturing aspect. It's almost showing like you're wanting to do your own curriculum, and a big part of that has to do with art, cooking, not that you can't get the other stuff in there as well.
Right.
I don't know that you'll do it for a long period of time. That's what I'm hearing psychically.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, yeah, you are very busy, but it does show that they also do work well on their own. So you would
yes
be able to like give them stuff to do, I feel, and then they could, and then you could do stuff and then come back. But I get like this whole kind of, for lack of a better, I don't know, this kind of little house on the prairie thing, like where you guys are, you're doing stuff with them, and then they're doing, and then you go do your own thing, they're doing their own thing, and then you come back at noon or whatever, or they take a nap, and then you go outside and, I don't know, pick berries and come back and bake a pie.
Right.
Or something, you know. I'm getting this kind of whole, you know, evolution around, but you're picking it up because it's not just you. It's, I feel them on a soul level, a psyche level, in the inner psyche, that they're wanting that. And what do you think about what I'm saying? I feel that they're very close to you.
Well, it makes sense because since they've been born, I've been with them. I actually was pregnant when my daughter was born, who's my older child, and when I had her, I never returned to the workforce, and I basically changed my whole direction, and my mission was to be home with them, and then I had my son. They're 22 months apart, so it was kind of a natural thing. I was already doing it for her, and I, you know, continue to stay home with him. So they've just been around me, and, you know, my daughter's in school in kindergarten right now in a Montessori, and I love the Montessori, and it's a wonderful
school. I was just
going to
say, like, Montessori or Steiner, yeah, it would be.
Yes.
Your daughter,
and, but
way, is quite,
she's gone.
She's quite
so
psychic.
I miss her.
Yeah.
She's
go ahead. Quite psychic. I don't know that you would do it more than a year to 2 years. I feel like they'll reenter school.
Okay.
And she does like school. Let's see.
Yes. She's very social, so she loves the children interaction.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it is showing that too.
Okay.
Can you do?
This,
let's see. What, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it just kind of, this thought came out of nowhere, because we would really be looking to possibly relocate to, we drive an hour each way for school, so it's a great school, and there's just not that many close to where we live, and it's a sacrifice that I've been willing to do because it's so important that she's in this type of an environment, and I love it. So looking at my son, putting him in her school next year for kindergarten, it's like, okay, well, all of a sudden I just start getting these thoughts of homeschooling, like a really profound movement within me that to really consider it, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. So I've been a little confused
by
it. But
here's the thing. Let's see, Tamara's putting the social aspect is a confirm for me, but nowadays it's very possible to create your own play group and field trip. Yeah, I agree, Tamara. And then she said, Allison, you could always try it for a while and see if it works. The thing is, let's see, let me have her first name and his first name. The daughter.
Autumn and Hunter.
Okay, here's the deal, what I'm getting. How would Autumn? There's going to be a little power. She wants it. I think she wants, it's the cooking. I videotape, I don't know. I feel there's some programs that you can do at home and also the cooking more with her. She's very psychic, but I do feel she wants that, the social aspect she really likes.
Yes.
She's quite social. You could do a summer program with them where they're home, where you do a summer, you know, school program if you'd like to at home, summer homeschooling. Because honestly, when I looked psychically, I don't think you would do it for more than minimum 6 to 8 months, probably a year. And then then it's going to get, she's a little feisty.
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing is that I see her getting out that energy, like on the with other kids and the running around and the playing around. I feel your son is a little more moldable, but you might have to put some rollerblades on with your daughter if you kept her at home, because she's got her mood where she's a little more restless and needing more outdoor attention or activity or like she'd be a difficult only child because she requires a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like people that say, oh, I have two children or I have two dogs because they keep each other company. That's what I feel with her. So let me ask this. Why is Allison getting this idea with this? Homeschooling. It's you missing, and it's the cooking. So I feel if you did some kind of program at home, whether weekend or during the summer, where it's bringing in more of those interests, you know, and
okay.
even, but it is showing it's more you with the separation.
Okay.
And but yet she's putting some vibe out there that she wants to do. I think she's so talented, and what's the word? She needs so much stimulation, and she really likes learning. That I think part of what you're picking up is when she comes home, she's still kind of in a learning mode. She doesn't
completely.
Really turn. Yeah, she doesn't really turn it off. So it may be that you're just going to have to add to. Her learning.
Okay, okay.
If that makes sense
that
at
in,
all.
Yeah, that in horses. She's just like me. I was a horse. I'm still am a horse person, and she wants those horses. So I was thinking of getting her involved with a riding. She's at the age where she's ready for start riding and see if that develops more, which I'm pretty sure it will. So I was going to let her start that this summer and swimming. And she's definitely that kid constantly doing something. My son is very, very quiet compared to her. So,
By what I see here, if she's only homeschooled, I think you're going to have some power struggles, some issues.
Okay.
You can't possibly keep up with her because she's just so full and open, and that's her, you know. But the cooking, I see you guys doing a lot more of that.
Okay.
She should have her own little cooking, her own little YouTube cooking show.
Yeah, that's fun. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
She would love that.
She would love that, yeah. I'm telling you, she's a creator. She's going to run circles around all of us.
Yes. She already is. Just her artwork that she comes home from school with, I'm just amazed. Like, wow. Very cool to see how much she does at school, and they really allow that to be a very big center focus there and for her to kind of follow that passion. So I'm very happy with her school. So maybe go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I think you're on the right track. I think it's just you need to supplement. Like, she's fine at school, and the games, a little kind of mental games they do, you know, kind of growing the mind as well, and the interaction with the kids. I think what you're picking up is she just needs more at home.
Okay.
But you don't have to take it all on.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Blessings.
Thanks. Blessings.
Good question. Wow. That's letting our children become independent can be so tough, Tamara said. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, yeah, because I remember even myself, you know, it's like every child is so different what they require, you know, and Allison, at least you have the mellow one also. You got a good balance, not both like that, you know, so that's pretty cool. And, you know, I love that question because in a way it's like both, again, going back to showing up for yourself and then showing up for those that are around you, you know, your family, your friends, you know, and extending that out. That whole idea that it takes a village. It does. You know, I think the more choice that we're allowed, and even if it takes a while to make that choice or we change our mind within that choice, but the more choice that we allow, the more we're actually tapping into our soul nature. Callers, if you did have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad. Otherwise, the number for those of you getting in the chat, I've gotten some emails. Is it hard to get in the chat? I've gotten some emails from people that haven't been able to get in, so I don't know if you're getting bounced out or what. But the call-in number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And then, of course, press 1 on the keypad, and that'll get you on air. And also for our Awakening Dialogue today, we're going to have on Maury Zelkovich of the Maury Method. Now, this sounds kind of interesting. He's a certified brainwave entrainment engineer. Yeah, sounds kind of interesting. And works also with sound and tones to affect the mental state. And I'm all about that. So we'll see what he has. And that'll be on, probably 15, 20 minutes or so. So, thanks, Tamara, for putting it in the chat. So back a little bit, covering the showing up. So I had a lot of emails about that. I had a lot of emails about the people being depressed or a lot of anxiety. There are supplements, ashwagandha, that helps, you know, good omega-3s, in the diet, SAMe. Also helps maybe for sleep, theanine, amino acids. I mean, you can do your own research, amylobin or lion's mane mushroom. There are, you know, quite a lot of supplements that will help with this energy. Just think about more kind of coming into your life, and we're all getting kind of cracked open. I remember a few weeks ago we had a listener call in, and she was saying, and it was in regards to love, that she just felt her heart had just been cracked open, and she was going out with a few people, one kind of in particular, but you didn't know where that was going, and there was a, you know, few people she was dating, and she's like, I just feel so different, and just feel so wide open. And so that's happening with a lot of us, that we're just feeling, you know, it's almost like you've been swimming, you know, in the pool close to the edge, you know, the ledge, so we can just go to the, you know, the edge of the pool and hold on. And then we're a little bit further out, and a lot of us now are more towards the middle of the pool, you know. And it's to trust that you can float on your back, or that someone will come by with floaties if you need to, you know, or do you have to, are you treading water, you know, or that you can simply just swim out of the pool if you choose to, or you can swim back to the edge, maybe not right away. So that opening that's happening right now is that basically you're downloading, you know, or opening to more of your own energy, more of source energies, the source energies that are you. And it's not something, it's happening, it seems like it's happening to us, but it's happening to us, through us, from us. And the download of that, the source energies and universal energy. Remember, in the truth of oneness, not only are we all interconnected, but we all, to some degree, are each other, but various forms or various aspects or different complexes of frequency showing up for each other, different aspects of self or aspects of being. And so along those lines, this is why astrology works so well, is that it's not just that the moon is influencing you, because that's still a separation. It's not that, you know, Saturn is in Scorpio now and that's affecting you, you know. It's that your Saturn nature, you are that planet. We are Saturn. That is the macrocosm. You know, when they talk about your heavenly nature and your earthly nature, heaven and earth, it's your heaven nature is that which is not in form, and your earth nature is what's in form. Because what are we doing on earth? We're, you know, tapping into form. So, you know, expressing and experiencing life through form, experience then the formlessness. So it's that we're opening more to these influences, more of these macro frequencies, or what we call transpersonal frequencies, or transpersonal planets, or transpersonal chakras, or energy centers. We're opening more to the transpersonal, beyond the little ego, to be experienced, manifested in form, in earth. You know, so there's a lot of opening right now. And due to that opening, there's, you know, people have been saying, it's hard for me to get a handle on things. It's hard for me to get a groove on this energy. What is it? I can't figure it out. You know, we're kind of past that, because that's the little mind. You know, we're moving into the place where we respond, we align, we attune. And that puts us more in the minute, because in the moment, because as soon as I'm trying to figure something out, which is fun, we will analyze, we'll still have cognitive ability, but that puts me out of the present moment. So what the new paradigm is requiring is that you be in the present moment first and foremost. You be in the divine nature, the expanded nature, the transpersonal first and foremost. You show up in the meditative state, and then you figure out. The old paradigm was, let me figure it out, and then let me expand or go within. Let me get into oneness secondary after I figure everything out. And so there's a reversal there. Okay, we got another caller, 512-251. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi. Hi. My name is Sue. Good. I was calling in reference to what you're seeing in terms of me and my career path this year.
Okay. Well, lots of expansion, and it does show choice, especially, I want to say, May, June. And it does show that you are ready for something else. The first thing I heard was, go for it. You can do it. But you are going to have choice. Does that make sense? I feel like there's more than one possibility for you. Yeah.
Yes.
So I am hearing, you know, the
and
one.
And the reason I'm asking this question is because I've had some challenges with these past couple years. I've had to learn how to just be able to take a situation and make lemonade out of it versus the lemons that have been given to me and not accept other people's stuff. And because sometimes I have a habit of attaching to people's stuff and really just learning how to release it. That's been a huge awakening for me these past couple of months.
Tell me about that, the releasing. What do you...
Well, I got emotionally involved, I guess emotionally involved in a situation that was not my situation, but unfortunately I got... Mm-hmm. I was in the situation, so I had to learn how to work around the situation, given the work environment that I'm in, and learn how to just do a lot of meditation, prayer, and just kind of check into my emotions when I feel like this is not quite right.
Right. Okay. I did a post on this. I think I did it today, and I'm uploading, and I might have done one, I believe, yesterday on my Facebook page. I've been doing these videos.
Okay.
One of the things is we kind of have a little misnomer, and again, I feel it's all coming from a good place from all of us and teachers that taught us this. I do agree we have to look and see what is our stuff or what do we want to engage in, but what I can tell you is everything that shows up in your life is by divine appointment, is meant to be. Now, what you do with it or how you handle it, So if it's there, there's a resonance for it. We don't attract what there's not a resonance for.
Okay.
But in handling it in the way that is the best, you know, or the most cohesive or coherent or the most harmonious. But here's the thing. Sometimes there's going to be some, disruptions or, you know, sometimes we have to grow in a different way that maybe something that we wouldn't have done in the past, now we are feeling from our deeper truth that we need to go in this direction, you know.
I understand.
You understand? You know, remember like bottle cleaners? I don't know if anybody still has those. I have one, you know, that goes cleaning out glass. Right? So one of the things that happens in the soul and is that we live a certain way and we're answering certain questions. We have certain questions come up and they get answered in a certain way. That's kind of what's happening with the soul through experience. But then we get a little lopsided. It's like, well, I do this way. I'm this kind of person. This means this. That means this. And then that lasts for a while. This is why sometimes you see people do things that seems uncharacteristic.
Okay.
But it's because now the complementary or the opposite needs to be experienced without judgment. Without judgment. It's kind of like the person that says, you know, I'll never hit my dog. That's horrible. Or I don't hit children, my child, or that's corporal punishment, and that means this. And they're so rigid on it, and then all of a sudden, right, they go, oh, my God, I hit my child, or I wanted to. I can see now where that person came from. You know, it's not necessarily that you have to do it, but you now know with empathy, like, oh, my God, I almost lost it. You know, whoa, wow.
Right.
So I feel like you're in this balancing point, Sue. And I do feel somehow what you do. Do you work with a lot of people? It feels like it's more of a public. Yeah.
Yes.
So it does show that is the direction to go in, even if it seems like it's going to be a little bit different than what you first thought or envisioned. The other thing that I can share with you and everybody listening is the decisions are that are the most coherent, the decisions that are the most in resonance with our soul design and our soul path. Your heart, your chest will kind of relax and open more. Now, there might be a little scary feeling in the tummy, like, can I do it or I'm not sure. But if you're making a decision and your voice goes up more and you feel more life force energy, you feel more vital life force energy, you feel more alive, and your kind of shoulders go back, it can be slight, and you feel like your chest is leaning up more.
Okay.
Then that means you're making a decision that's of the most optimal frequency, even though it might be challenging one and a sticky and a messy one, ultimately that will be the one that's for the greater good for all concerned. If you feel tightness in the chest, and this is why I will venture to say that a lot of people that tend to have heart issues or heart attacks, because I used to do a lot with my medical hypnotherapy, I worked with a lot of cardiologists, and invariably, unfortunately, unless it's a quick thing, you know, sometimes a stroke happens or a heart attack or whatever, and the person's in tippy-toppy shape and living their life, you know, to the fullest and most fulfillment and authentically. But as a general rule, a lot of times people that have heart issues, it's because they're not following their heart. They're living lives that it's not really what they want to do. And actually, there's conventional medical statistics on this. A lot of times with lower income socioeconomic families that have to do jobs or overly work hard, tend to have a lot more heart conditions and cardiac conditions and heart conditions and early heart attacks because they're not able to do what they really want to do. Instead of their heart opening to their life, it's constricting. But again, we all have to do what we have to do. Did that help at all?
It did. And very last question. Today I had a dream, and I had a dream about a snake. And I don't know, and it woke me up because I saw the head of a snake, and I don't know how to take that dream.
Transformation.
Oh, is that what that means?
Just that we're talking at right now, the snake sheds its skin.
Yes.
As it gets warmer, which we're moving into that, and the head. So the head is something in your mind. Maybe there's some transformation in your beliefs, your ideas, your mental constructs, or how you view the world. You know, the mental realm seems to be going through a transformation. But the snake also regenerates itself, right? And it's close to the earth, so it follows the pulse of its earth, of the earth. It follows the pulse, you know, obviously very seasonal, has to be to stay alive and do well. But, yeah, you're in a transformation.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you so
much. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, great.
Great to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Hi, 306-671. You're on Awakenings Radio. Do-do-do-do. Let's see. Back again. Let's see.
Hello?
306. Yes, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Norma.
Hi, Norma. What's your question?
Oh, wow, I got on. You're amazing, I have to just say.
Oh.
I've been following you for a while, quite a while, actually, normally on archive, because I usually am, like, traveling on Wednesdays, so I'm not able to listen. But anyway, you really are amazing. You've opened up my mind and my conscious mind to so much that I am really resonating with, but it's new, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a question. I have many questions, but I'm going to stick to one.
Okay.
And that one is that, and I just also want to say that I love what you said about things, that we attract things that perhaps are divinely appointed to us for some reason.
Yeah.
And that we are where we are for a reason.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, you know, back in, before 2008, we kind of did this business venture, and then the economy kind of hit the toilet, and our finances have never been as, you know, challenging as they are right now. Makes me emotional. But anyway.
Yeah.
And so we put our house on the market, and we've just sort of been sitting here, and we have an intention to, you know, move toward living more simply, playing more, balancing work and play, and trying to bring abundance back into our life in a new way.
Yeah.
So I am just kind of, I feel like we're on limbo, you know, we're just waiting for things to happen. And I could really use some positive input on, is there something we're not seeing, something we're not doing, or are we doing everything we need to do and things are going to just shift soon, or, you know. And I also want to add to that is that I work a lot with resonance repatterning. I'm working toward certification toward that.
Oh,
and
yay, so we, yay.
I work with those tools. So
okay.
Anyway, so what do you got for me,
perfect,
Michelle?
Okay, I got a lot. Well, first of all, what I'd love for you to do is in writing down and then also in like a verbal mantra in your head is that to just give gratitude or appreciation for all that you have right now and how the abundance is showing up in your life, and then say, and I also would like this and this and this. So what
uh-huh.
I feel is, yeah, so you just need to add that, and I also would like this and this and this. I want to experience this and this and this. So as much gratitude, yummy, appreciation energy that you can have. My husband and I are getting together, we're closer, we have this playtime, we have more leisure time now, I love that I can follow what I do, I appreciate that I'm doing the resonance repatterning, that's helping me and I'm going to help others by doing that, because I feel you're going to do really well in that, and I do feel workshops in it, classes, and I see you building up quite a nice practice and even traveling a bit, that's why you guys are having to simplify. And by the way, everyone is going through this, big or small, is the soul just said, this is boring now. Okay, everybody, let's simplify. And the way
yes.
to do it on the human level is to pinch us all in the finance. But you are building back up, and you will build back up on a monetary level, because I'm hearing the finance. So you need to look
yes.
at, God, I have all this energy. I feel more energetic. I have more health now. I'm not as stressed. And I would also like energy to show up in some more dollars in the bank account, and then visualize that. But you have to, because, see, appreciation and gratitude is an extremely high, what we call carrier wave frequency. It's
yes.
kind of like you've ever gone to, dinner with somebody, and you're just eyeing that extra piece of pie, and you're like, oh, my God, that pie was so delicious. It just was so amazing. Oh, why don't you take that home or have that other piece? Are you sure? And somebody, So the universe, especially in the new paradigm, is really working on appreciation and gratitude. And I want to say just more than gratitude, appreciation. There's a difference between, a subtle difference. Appreciation has a little more, you can feel it more, right? It connects in more on a feeling, sensing level. So starting with the gratitude, but you have to feel that. Now let me see, what's coming? And so I feel like the abundance isn't necessarily in a new way. It's recognizing that everything is energy and that abundance is having enough and then, even more than enough of what we need. I call it kind of, living life from the overflow, to kind of quote Michael Beckwith and, his kind of a thought on that and Reverend Cheryl Ward, but we are, see, and this is why my contention in a lot of metaphysical classes that I've taught, and I got a lot of flack for this, but if you actually read the Bible, the metaphysical Bible, or any of those kind of more traditional focuses, even the Kabbalah, they will tell you receive first. See, we changed it to give first, and as you give, you shall receive. And the truth
yes.
is we're always receiving, right? We're always uploading and downloading. We're always in a receiver mode. We're these broadcasters.
Mm.
So I feel, Norma, you're opening to the fullness of what you have been receiving. So
in
appreciating and honoring that, you're going to harness more of that energy. And then you move into what we call conscious creation, which says, okay, this is cool. I see I'm receiving all these cool insights and friends. I appreciate that. So you see that just as valid as dollars. You feel that just as valid as dollars. And then you say,
yes.
I also, because the spirit and soul isn't either or. As soon as we're in an either or, then we're in the lower level duality plane. So
correct,
as soon as
yeah.
you say and, as soon as you say both, I want this and.
This
then
and,
that's gonna,
okay.
Just going to bump up your frequency. So you want what you have, and you're appreciating what you have. And you also want it to show up this way. I also want, health and wellness, or I have this Ferrari, but I also want health and wellness. Ferrari's cool. I also have health and wellness right now, and I want it to show up as a relationship. Or And I wanted to show up as a career. I have these, you know, I get to go to the farmer's market in the morning, and I love that's so abundant. I get to sleep in and have my cappuccino in the morning. I'm so blessed to be able to do that, and I love that. And I also want to do whatever that is. So you're gonna
oh, you're awesome.
You'll shift
it really,
energy.
Seriously.
Yeah, by moving into okay. the and, the both.
Shift
yeah.
to move into the end and both. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have anything that you're picking up on house selling?
Selling?
Yeah, we have our house up on the market.
I feel as soon as you more move into this, you're kind of trying to worry about the form right now. So it's
yeah.
kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you put your order in, you don't know exactly how they're going to cook whatever they're cooking. You know,
yes.
you may want kale salad or eggs Benedict, and then you go, I kind of like it better at the other restaurant. So what I feel for you is put your order in right now, at least for the next couple weeks. Just
yes.
really focus on that and let that shift the energy. And the selling, that could be one way. And I also want to receive this by the house selling. You see?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Norma. Thanks for calling
yes.
in.
Hey, thank you. You do so much yeah. great, awesome work for people, and I love you.
I love you, too.
Much love.
And thank you.
Much love.
Tears
yeah.
to my eyes of appreciation. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank
you. And I'm
you.
A little selfish. I get a lot from doing this, too. So.
Yeah.
Well,
of course, or you wouldn't be doing it, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste. All right. It's that time of the program for our Awakening Dialogue. We're having an Awakening conversation today with Maury Zelkovich, which he's the creator of the Maury Method, which is how sounds and tones affect the mental state. We're going to be talking to him about reprogramming your mind for success, effortless prosperity. Ooh, I hope you're listening, Norma. This is for you. Maury is also a certified brainwave entrainment engineer. And the Maury Method is a proprietary composite of techniques, and these recordings, including quantum mind power and quantum confidence, are acclaimed by his legions of listeners. Welcome to the program, Maury.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, when we've top of the program, a lot on handling the new energy that we're in, and, of course, people going through economic either ups and downs or strife or rebuilding, asking how to draw in this prosperity, how to draw in more abundance. So perfect timing to have you on the program. So appreciate you taking the time.
Again, it's my pleasure. People should know it's a lot easier than it sounds.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I kind of just want to dive in and ask about what is the Maury Method? What is the Maury Method and what are the uses?
Well, essentially, I'm 52 years old, and the first 35 years of my life, I lived in bitter hell.
Mm.
And I used to have this catch line that I used all the time in my own head. Life is a disease for which there is no cure but death. And I still think there's a certain musical rhythm to that, although it's terribly
right.
despondent and depressive.
Right.
I went around looking for everything under the sun to help me. To help myself to stop feeling this way. I tried hurting myself often, killing myself. Nothing worked. Fortunately, otherwise we'd be having a talk from the grave right now. And
you were meant
yeah.
to be here.
Which isn't that uncommon, right?
Right,
but,
that's true. We're glad to have you here in
yeah.
body. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I tried everything, and I mean everything. And some things kind of made me feel okay while I was using them, you
mm-hmm.
know, as far as like listening to a recording or watching something, you know, for a few moments here, a few moments there. But pretty much immediately after, you know, the end game, I'd be exactly back where I was. horrible depression, darkness everywhere. And I realized at one point that if I can't figure out a way to die, I have to figure out a way to live.
Wow.
And I kind of just started looking and looking and looking at all these facets and all these things I've been trying and my instincts and everything else. And I realized that I have to be grateful to all these products and services and people who, you know, well-intentioned but did nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why they did nothing for me was because I was gaining a new understanding that they're not supposed to do anything for me. I need to take responsibility and do it for myself. You know, if you believe in God, God gave you a brain, God gave you eyes and hands and whatever else God gave you, or the universe, or you know, soul or purpose or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they gave you these things to use them. So I realized that whereas the technologies that I was using weren't helping me, I wasn't helping myself either. And I ended up taking what I was learning from these things, which even though it wasn't helping me, it was, you know, a little piece of a puzzle here, a little piece of the puzzle there. Eventually, it started forming a picture for me, and I was able to create something for myself. I realized later on, of course, that all my suffering had a purpose. It was so that I could create my system and my methodology, because it turns out it's pretty universal. And it helps pretty much anyone to help themselves. I'm not a guru by any stretch of the imagination. I am probably the top audio brainwave entrainment expert in the world. But that doesn't make me an expert in your problems or in your issues in your life. However, I do, through my many years of living in hell, understand how the brain works and how it sabotages and what is necessary to change that. And that alludes, you know, gets back to what I was alluding to earlier about how it's a lot easier than you think it is. So the Mori method involves about 50 or 60 technical aspects that are mine and mine alone. You know, they cannot be reverse engineered. They use various types of science and technique interwoven in a special way to create an effect. But it also involves using common, well, I won't call it common knowledge, but if people sit back and observe their lives for a few weeks, it's amazing the understanding they will get about themselves. And that in itself can pretty much solve almost anybody's problem. So my systems are designed with that in mind. They're designed to say, hey, I am not an expert in your life. I don't know you. Don't buy my stuff if you think I'm going to help you to straighten out your life. Ultimately, you're where you are because you've made decisions, you've chosen to believe certain stories, certain people, certain things, and when you believed in them and chose to believe in them, you made them your own. When you made them your own, you accepted them as reality, and when you accepted them as reality, they became your reality. So it's really a simply a matter of changing how we think, and that is very easy to do.
Wow. So let's back up a little bit. You've got, tell us a little bit about, and I love this, by the way, what brainwave entrainment is and brainwave entrainment engineer, and then I want to get into the sounds and the tones, like, you know, basic of how you do what you do.
Okay. Years ago, I started realizing I used to love camping, one of the few things I got some joy out of. And one of the things you do when you camp is you sit at a fire and you hear crackling and the flames flicker. And I was noticing that I was actually getting sent off to places that I've never been to before, just by watching and listening. And that cued me in that there's something going on, especially on an auditory level, that could actually have a very strong effect on the brain. So brainwave entrainment technology, in, you know, specifically what I do with the audio technology, is a series of pulsed tones that have to be shaped a certain way, and they have to be spaced a certain way. So ba 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 ba. Each ba has to look exactly the same, if you were to graph it, and the space between each pulse has to be exactly the same. You have to understand how many of these you need per second to get different effects and different neurochemicals released to achieve different results. So that, in a nutshell, is what entrainment is. You hear these stable tones for usually it takes about 6 minutes before your brain starts to follow through something called the frequency following response, which is a natural facet of everybody's brain. It starts to follow the pulse rate. So your neurons, which are brain cells, pulse all the time. And they're always pulsing. Mm. You know, people are familiar with the alpha state, the theta state, delta,
yep.
you know, beta.
Yep.
People are familiar with gamma. That all that means is your neurons are pulsing at a specific rate, so many times per second. And when I say pulsing, they're emitting a very minute electrical pulse. So, you know, say a theta level of, say, 7 hertz would be your brain cell pulsing at 7 times per second.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
when it does that, it releases different neurochemistry. So that's how brain itself works.
Wow.
You're exposed
so,
to the tones. The tones, your brain just follows them naturally.
So people are listening to certain tones, and then it creates that, I imagine, the new track that, you know, the neural pathways that are of more optimal frequency. Is that?
Well, no, you don't actually create new tracks like that. What happens is your brain just learns how to follow these natural frequencies again. We live in a society that we're all stressed. I heard the last young lady you had on the phone, and she's worried about this and she's worried about that, and you were very sweet and compassionate, and that's nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, you're expressing your views and your feelings. Exactly, and that's a wonderful thing to do, by the way. And part of what's going on with her is, in my mind, I heard a lot of negative self-talk. She's worried.
Yeah.
She's concerned. And one of the ways to help someone who's worried and concerned is to have someone who has, like you do, credibility. And when she hears you say, you know, things aren't necessarily what you see them as, so don't just jump on the boat just because you think of something right away, and it'll calm you down. What you really did was you helped her to change her brainwave frequency away from negative self-talk by adjusting her brainwave frequency, and that's basically what you did. What I do is I take the brain back into natural states that it probably existed in naturally at regular intervals 5,000-10,000 years ago. You know, before the dawn of civilization, before the dawn of stress. And, you know, there was a time in this world where your and my world consisted of, a couple of huts or a couple of caves down the way. And that was the entire scope of the world. So despite the fact that we would think this is a horrible, stressful way to live, they really had very little stress. They were like an animal. You know, if you have a pet, my parents have a pet bunny. The bunny sits around and does nothing except pee, poo, and eat. And preen himself. And he's quite happy doing that. As a human being. Yeah, but as a human being you'd be pretty bored if that's all you did. Mm. Right? Well, back then that's what mankind was like. We were like the little bunny. All we needed to do was, you know, do our business and eat and survive. And believe it or not, that was a lot less stressful than it is now. So millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, we all still had brains and mouths and eyes and feet and hands and everything else. You know, they've subtly changed in structure over the time, but essentially they're the same thing. And they require the same thing. So the brain hasn't been adapted to be living in stress all the time. And we miss out on that neurochemistry that, you know, cavemen, if you will, had as a natural happenstance of their life. The entrainment allows your brain, in a very natural, non-invasive way, to get back into those healthful states. When you get back into those healthful states, you produce natural amounts of neurochemistry, which your body and your brain has been designed to operate nominally on for hundreds of thousands of years, but which you have never been able to achieve because of the life stresses, you know, since you achieved awareness anyway. You know, children tend not to have these problems because they live in the moment like you're supposed to. But then they get corrupted by adults and by watches and by schools and everywhere else that start telling you, no, it's not okay to draw outside the lines. It's not okay to laugh. It's not okay to discover. You got to sit down. You got to be quiet. You know, all these things start to reprogram us away from our natural way. And the more unnatural programming we have, the harder it is for us to achieve anything in our lives. Now, I was horribly in debt, horribly depressed. Mm-hmm. I deal with things even today. And yet I don't remember the last time I really had a negative thought.
Wow. Great.
And that's because of neurochemistry. So the biggest problem in my theory of depression and theory of having all this negative self-talk is that we have a negative thought, we interpret it. How bad is it? Well, I'll call it 80% bad. Then your brain will create chemistry to back up that belief system. So now I'm feeling 80% bad. Well, that 80% bad feeling creates more negative thoughts, which creates more neural chemistry, which creates more negative thoughts and more neural chemistry. Endless loop. That's the cycle, in my opinion, of depression. So the trick is, you know, you can talk to people, I can talk to people, we can try to help them, but they're not going to be helped if they don't really listen and act on what you're telling them. When someone's depressed, the prevalent thought in their mind is, well, it's nice for them to want to help, but you know what? You don't know me. You don't know my life situation. You don't really understand. This doesn't really, it's, I mean, you're sweet and everything, but it's not really relevant to me, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's neural chemistry talking. If you can interrupt that neural chemistry with properly engineered entrainment, okay, what happens is you end up interrupting the flow of negative chemistry. Now you're open to hearing and thinking about positives and seeing positives in the world, which can break you out of that cycle. That's an example.
Now let me, I love that. Now, so you talked about with depression, what about dis-ease or illness?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not allowed to make comments with respect to actual sickness, but I can tell you the American Medical Association has many studies out there that say that if you're happier, if you meditate, you're less likely to get seriously ill.
Right.
So obviously, you're more in touch with yourself.
Right.
Go ahead, sorry.
But I'm wondering, well, you said depression, which is, I mean, there's clinical depression, there's, and I know you're not, you know, diagnosing or saying use this and you'll, you know, everything will be better. But I'm wondering if that can, I would imagine it can also help with people that already have chronic ailments or, you know, not just mental, emotional, but even physical ailments, I would imagine.
I would see, I would say yeah, because, again, you know, a lot of these things are due to stress and a lot of these things are complicated by stress. You know, a headache is tensed up blood vessels, you know, literally.
So,
the more relaxed you are, the more your body can do what it needs to do. If you're tense, then obviously it's harder for nutrients and oxygen and everything to get to where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, Maury, how did you discover that the tones, though, the pulses, you say the sounds and tones, how did you discover which ones would create you know, I guess, optimal health, you know, entrainment? How would it bring them back to those natural, as you said, states?
Oh, well, there's actually a lot of research out there on the brain. It's not hard to find research on the brain. You know, the brain's a pretty major organ, and they haven't ignored it in the literature. You know, brainwave activity is relative. Yeah, I started following and reading a lot of the research that's out there and, of course, using intuition. And the scientist's biggest tool and friend, research. So I tried it. I tried everything on myself first, then on others, and then on others, and then on others. So once I was sure something wasn't going to hurt me, then I figured, okay, now it's time to test it on others. And then I would test it on other people, and they got benefits. And then I tested it on other people, and they got benefits. And then I know something works. We have a new system that I just came out with called Effortless Prosperity that you alluded to, which uses a new technology I created called Triliminals, which basically is me talking in your right ear, sending information to your left hemisphere, your left ear sending information to the right hemisphere, and then at the same time I'm talking to you from the middle of your head as well. And all of this is interwoven in a specific way so as to reprogram your negative thought patterns. Most people, when something happens to them, they automatically race ahead. They make a conclusion. You know, there's a problem about being human. We think we're smart. And because we think we're smart and intelligent, we assume everything we think is true and accurate. And that actually is probably one of the biggest mistakes we can make as a human being. The fact that we can think should be a red light for us to say, take a breath, take a few steps back, and think about it before we assume we're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when we assume all these panicky situations, we lead ourselves down to that path, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
What these systems do is they reprogram your negative thinking pattern so that when something were to happen in the past that would set you off on this whole fear ride, an anxiety ride, instead your first response would be either neutral or positive. You know, I can't tell you how many clients I have who were scared to death about losing their houses.
Mm.
And then, you know, they called me up after some of them lost their houses, and they called me up saying, I don't know why I was scared. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
What a pain that was on me. It was such an albatross worrying about making all these payments, and why was I holding on to it? I don't even know why. It's just a thing.
Mm.
You know, my health was bad, my this was bad. Now I'm healthier, I'm happier. I don't have this giant lead weight around my neck anymore. I mean, they're all thrilled that they don't own their houses anymore.
I've been
because
hearing that
it's
as well
the way they think.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure, it's the way they think, right? If you assume certain things, you know, if you listen to the news, if you read the newspaper, if you let yourself get programmed by all this crap, then you're going to experience crap. Because you're choosing to believe in things that, A, you can't control, and B, you know, may not even be true. They're just there to, you know, for rating.
Boy, and that is so true. Or sometimes things that we tell ourselves is not, you know, don't end up, you know, manifesting anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maury, so tell us a little more of the effortless prosperity. So that is tones as well as your talking?
Yes. I've incorporated a special theta tone. There's a certain facet about theta frequency wave that it produces, or is theorized to produce, at any rate, a hormone called LTP, which stands for long-term potentiation. It's theorized that that's one of the reasons why children learn much easier than adults, because they tend to exist more regularly in a theta state as a natural happenstance, whereas we as adults tend to be more in beta. And we don't release this neurochemical. So I've designed a very special theta frequency that actually is effective even when they're spoken word, because normally when you combine other sounds with entrainment, you lose a lot of the effectiveness. But I've done certain things to it that make it actually more effective with the spoken word, the way it's interwoven with the pattern of the three voices coming together as individuals, but then combining as something greater than the sum of their parts. So you have that. You also have a background hiss, which kind of sounds like shh, and there's two purposes for that. One of them is to help block out extraneous noise that might be around, because any obtrusive noise, like, you know, I don't know, kid slamming two bricks together or making noises, just arbitrary noises, can get in the way of the full effect. So it helps you mask that out. But it also serves to increase the effectiveness of the entrainment itself. And the entrainment, again, is the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, then I do certain things to my voice as well. So that when the voice is being spoken, you see, because I'm giving very direct commands, if you will, statements in the line.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it doesn't matter, unlike traditional affirmations, it doesn't matter if you agree or not with them. With traditional affirmations, if you don't agree, they just don't work.
I agree.
But with this,
that's
makes a difference.
Well, they don't have
you know, when you're a,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you agree or not. When you're a baby, you're born, you're a tabula rasa, you're a blank slate. You have no beliefs or fears or positive or negative, anything. They're all given to you. And what the triliminal is it's basically a system that's designed on how we learned. And then it uses science and technique and methodology to recreate an artificial form, which is much stronger and much faster moving than nature. Because, you know, it might have taken you 30 or 40 years to get to who you are and where you are today. We don't want you to take 30 or 40 years to change back into something good again. So it uses the same understanding as to how you learned everything but it puts it into a package that within 2 or 3 months you can literally change all of your internal beliefs to something that is serving you. What happens is your brain, your mind, your experience reinterprets everything I'm saying automatically into something that makes sense to you and your experience. So it's not me saying you are rich. If I were to say you are rich, it wouldn't be you going, oh, no, but I'm not rich. He's full of it. It would be your brain would be interpreting how are you rich. So I go, well, you know what? I actually have really good friends. I have this. I have that. And all this kind of stuff happens automatically underneath. Because you got to remember, again, when you're a kid, you never had anybody, you know, you never had any negative thoughts or negative feelings or negative this or negative that. Everything was very open. You learned these responses. Wherever you are today, happy, sad, or indifferent, you learned those responses. This is basically the ultimate in super relearning, not of a language, okay, not of mathematics, but of how you control your life. And that's how it works. Without giving away my proprietary secrets, of course.
That's right. Oh, God.
Can't do that. So, 35 years of hell has to be worth something.
That's right. That's part of the game. Tell us a little bit. We talked about the effortless prosperity, but quantum mind power and quantum confidence.
Sure. Quantum mind power is my flagship product. It's basically designed to give people what they need when they need it. All of my systems are designed for you to help yourself. Okay. I believe that if self-improvement can be said to have an issue or a reason why you hear people who have been on self-improvement kicks for 40 or 50 years is because why would I be on a self-improvement kick for 50 years if I've been improved? The reason is that they're not being improved. And my theory behind that is the same reason why it didn't help me. Because it wasn't designed really to help me. Self-improvement was designed by lots of very well-intentioned people, and there's a lot of very good products out there, I think, but the problem I had with them, at least, was that it was someone who doesn't know me telling me what my problem is and then telling me what I need to do to fix it. And for me, that didn't work. And for a lot of people, that doesn't work. And that's why you can hear and read and do something that really makes a lot of sense to you. It's brilliant. It's genius. And yet your life doesn't change. Because they're missing the boat that it has nothing to do with somebody else's genius here. If your life is to change, you're going to be the one changing it. And if you, like I have some clients who call me up, and they're always asking my opinion. They always want this. They want that. And at some point, I cut them off and I say, look, I'm not a guru. Nobody is. As a matter of fact, if you want to see the guru, every single one of you listening to this, whether it's live or recorded, after the call, go look in a mirror. That's
You're your own guru.
Exactly. That's the only guru you will ever not only need but ever have, too. And if somebody starts talking about themselves as a guru, then I suspect you should run for the hills.
Yeah.
Or fly for the hills or drive for the hills.
Well, but guru, what is that? You're right. It just means teacher.
A guru is a complimentary term, But
yeah,
honestly,
teacher. I think we're all each other's teachers and we're all learning, I think. Don't you? We're teaching each other and learning.
Yes.
But I think what I'm hearing from you
is
that...
the problem
is
some students rely on the teacher too much, and that's my problem. It's not important if I die tomorrow or if I like to say, if the aliens come to take me home, okay, all right, then you don't need me. I am not a necessary component for the Mori method to keep working for you.
That's why I'm a big proponent of tools and people doing it on their own, you know. I had somebody the other day ask about healing and could you heal me, and I said I can assist you in healing yourself, but, you know, nobody, right, heals somebody. And
well said.
So I find what you're doing is, is very empowering because you're saying this is a tool that they can use, as you said earlier, to help themselves, but it's really in that person's hands. You know, you're giving them a tool, but you're not doing it.
Let's say you just developed a pill, okay, and it's like the size of aspirin, let's say. And if I were to take this pill, it would not only cure all my physical ailments, but it would make me brilliantly smart, tactful. It would improve all my physical features and make me handsome, right? It would give me a six-pack. It would do everything possible to make my life wonderful, right? And all I'd have to do is take this pill once. You give that pill to 1,000 people, and 999 people won't take it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because they don't want responsibility for their own well-being. And that's the biggest problem I find. They're all looking for leaders. They're all looking for people to tell them what to do. And I refuse to accept, A, that responsibility, and B, I know, you know, when you've come from a bad place, and I don't know you, but I expect you've probably come from a bad place too, because usually people in our business are the survivors. You know, we get an understanding that other people who haven't gone through this don't understand, and that's why we're here. We're here because we were given this to survive so that we could help others to learn that their lives have hope too.
Yeah, they can survive. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, and they can do it themselves. And they already have everything they need to do it themselves. My products, all they do is, it's kind of like exercise for your brain, if you will, and your mind. And again, I think if the programming is flawed, we change the programming. So that's what I do. With the Triliminals, I've created a system that just helps you to reprogram yourself to be happier and to be more fulfilling and to understand that, you know, you're supposed to be happy, and the proof for that is when you're happy, it feels good.
Yeah,
and when you're not happy,
true.
It doesn't feel good. That's nothing more than the red light on the dashboard of your life, you know. If you choose to pay attention to the oil light, you're fine.
I just want to let everybody know that's coming on air or coming in the chat as well that we're talking right now with Maury Zelkovich, and you can find out more information about the Maury Method, maurymethod.com. Maury, is there a particular time frame people need to listen to this? You know, sometimes they say 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 21 days, a month.
That's an excellent question.
Okay.
This is, you know, generally speaking, in the first month or two, I ask people, you know, if you're going to make the investment in money and time in yourself, then you really have to ask yourself, am I committed to doing this?
Mm-hmm.
For some of my products, the best way to listen is they're about 30-minute recordings approximately on average.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd listen one day for 30 minutes. Best way to listen is eyes closed, lying down, comfortable volume and stereo headphones. And then the next day would be like maybe an hour, so two 30-minute segments broken up during the day. And then 30 minutes and then an hour and 30 minutes and an hour. And if you miss a day here and there, not a big deal, but you should really try to stick to it at least for the first couple of months because you're going through a whole retraining process. It's kind of like consider your brain a muscle. So let's say you exercise your body for 6 months and you're doing it 3-4 times a week and you get into really good shape. So your stomach is flat and your back is strong and your arms are bigger and your legs are stronger. And then you go, all right, I'm where I want to be. Now I throw away all the weights and I stop running and I stop walking. Well, very soon you're going to go back to mush.
Yeah.
So the brain is the same thing. It doesn't mean you have to do this every day once you get to where you want to be. But a very good idea, at least once or twice a week, to keep the, you know, to keep it where you are. You want to have a maintenance dose, if you will. And you need to realize, you know, sometimes people are happy in their lives, and everyone else is telling them they're not, and they believe that. So, you know, be willing to make the commitment to yourself. Put the Seinfeld episode away. You know, you've already seen it 15 times. or the Big Bang Theory or whatever the current big show is that everybody watches 8,000 times a week, you know. Believe me, everyone has enough time for an hour and a half every day, easily.
So true. Now, Maury, we just have like 15 seconds remaining. I wanted to see the MauryMethod.com. Can people also get the Effortless Prosperity there as well?
No. If they want Effortless Prosperity, they'll have to email me. We just launched that program recently, and the launch period is over, so now we're just deciding which bonuses come with it to re-release it in permanent status.
Okay. So people can go to themorimethod.com and email you from there if they have an interest also in Effortless Prosperity.
Yeah, and tell them to mention your name and your show, and I'll give them a
Merchant Awakenings Radio
price down for them. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, okay. Maury, thank you so much for being on Awakenings Radio and sharing us this enlightened information. It truly is groundbreaking, and I know will continue to help so many. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure, and my love and energy to all.
Beautiful. And that our guest today for Awakening Conversations was Maury Zeljkovic. You can find out more information about the Maury Method at themaurymethod.com. If you have questions about Effortless Prosperity, that program, you can email him at themaurymethod.com as well. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. As always, I mean, we always have such a great time together and always great guests. I always feel so enlightened. Until next time, to continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.